I'm going to be in Joshua chapter 1, and our main text is going to be Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, but I'm going to read verse 1 to 9 then here in a little bit. But what got me, what inspired me to preach this message is we were on our way home from Missouri, and Jesse and Lizian were with us, and we got one of those worldly things in our RV that it's a screen, it does movies and stuff on there. And the children were watching it on YouTube, and they were watching a Bible story. And I was driving down the road, and I'm just pondering, you know, we had an 8-hour drive, 10-hour drive, I don't know what it was. And this Bible story I could hear was a text out of Joshua 1:9. And everybody knows that verse, you know, Joshua 1:9. And they were saying the scripture, and it was out of a different version. They were saying, "I have commanded you, and be strong and brave," is what they were saying. And I just knew right away that's not right. And I told the kids to shut it off. That's not the right version. I don't want to hear it. And so I told Jesse while we were driving down the road, I said, "Jesse, that's not right, is it? That's Joshua 1:9. It's supposed to be courageous or courage or something like that, right?" And he looked it up while I was driving. "Yep, you're right. It is. It's supposed to be courageous." I said, "I don't think that's the same thing. I don't think brave and courage is the same thing." And so after I got home, and yesterday I just had a lot of time that I just studied, and I was studying that out yesterday, and I didn't do work on the farm. I just kind of stayed in the house with the kids and the wife, and for some reason I just decided I'm going to get a message ready, and I guess the Lord was showing me that, because as soon as the pastor got here this morning, "Can you preach tonight?" I said, "Sure can. I'm ready. Got one." So I was pretty blessed about that, but I'm going to read a text here, what brave and courage is, or a quote here. Brave and courage are usually put together into one definition, but they are simply not the same thing. See, bravery is more like a trait or an instinct. A brave person is a person who sees a dangerous situation and immediately reacts bravely without thinking. And courage, on the other hand, is seeing a situation or a dangerous or a scary experience and acting even though you're scared. It's being afraid and terrified and wanting to curl up in a ball like a hamster, but you persevere through the pain and the tough times. That's courage. Physical bravery attracts the most attention. So you see that when military or firemen or EMT or anybody that you can, I don't know, there's probably so many other things, when they act out, a lot of times it's out of bravery. They have to do something. They have to go in and do some things, and winning the Purple Heart Award. But courage takes many forms: moral, intellectual, emotional, political, and even financial. You need to find the courage to express ideas that may not be the majority opinion. Take ideas that you have that no one knows about and express them, even if you think that no one will support them. And then fear can be paralyzing. We've all felt it. Giving a presentation or answering a question or even just speaking to a person, fear can paralyze us. And so I looked into that, and I found out that in the Bible, courage is 20 times in the King James Bible. Courage is 20 times in the King James Bible, and it's courageous is 5 times. And courageously is once. So the word courage and courageously and courageous is 26 times in the King James Bible. And brave is not in the Bible one time. It's not even there one time. But the word bravery is in there once, in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 18. And I just, because the secular, the world today wants to make brave the word courageous the same thing, but it actually is two different completely things. Two different completely things. So I'm going to read in chapter 1, verse 9. I'm just going to read that, then we'll get in here. "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time here tonight, Lord. Lord, I just pray that the Spirit of God would anoint me here, Lord, this morning, this evening, as I present this message, Lord, here. to the folks here tonight, Lord. I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that you would just bless each and every one of us here tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the Bible, courage is also called good cheer. It's also called good cheer as in Mark chapter 6, verse 50. You can read, "For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately they talked with him and said to him, 'Be of good cheer.'" So it is, "I, be not afraid." God is saying, "Be not afraid of him." Jesus is saying, "Be not afraid of him." I know that when I left the Amish, you know, in order to have any courage at all, you have to have faith. And you cannot have that faith unless that faith is of God. And that faith comes from God in order to have courage. And I never understood what courage really meant growing up. I never even understood what it meant. I never even understood what it meant soon after I got saved. Until someone pointed out to me, says, "Wow, Sam, you really had courage." I'm like, "What's courage? I didn't understand what courage is." But it's taking something and trusting in something or someone in the Lord and moving forward and knowing that he's going to carry you through. And so when Jesus gave the command to the disciples who saw him walking on water in the Sea of Galilee and coming towards him, that's when he told them that to be not afraid. And so the Greek word translated courage and good cheer means literally boldness and confidence. Then in the Bible, courage is opposite of fear. So when we fear, then we don't have courage. You've got to have courage in order to not have fear. So it's fear. Fear is the opposite of courage. So when God commands us to fear not, to be of good cheer and to have courage, he's always commanding against fear, which is absolutely the opposite of courage. But God doesn't simply command courage with no reason behind it, because nearly in every incident where God says, "Fear not," there follows a reason to have courage, and that reason is God himself. It's his nature and his perfect plan. It's his perfect plan. So when God calms Abram's fears about his battle with the kings of Sodom, the captivity of Lot, and his rescue, God says, "Fear not. Fear not, for I am your shield." In Genesis 15:1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, 'Fear not. Fear not.'" So when Hagar was despairing for her life and that of her child in the wilderness, the angels of the Lord tells her, "Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is," in Genesis 21:17. Then also God promised the Israelites. In Isaiah 41:14, it says, "Fear not, thou warned Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, says the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel," is what it says in Isaiah 41:14. So he told them to fear not. And so it's similar. Fear not is similar. I'm the one who helps you, is what he's saying. God is saying, "I'm the one who helps you." So in each incident, we see that God is commanding courage. He's commanding to have courage. Not because it's natural for man to be brave or courageous, because it's not natural for us to be courageous. But because when God is protecting and he's guiding us, we have the courage because we are confident in him. And I know when I got saved that all these oppositions that were coming against me from my people that were condemning me and telling me where I'm going by believing that I can be saved by being born again, I know that I had a guy that was in my path, which was Joe Kime, and he kept saying, "Trust the word of God. Trust the word of God." And that just stuck to me just like that. And I remember those days, my early Christian walk, that I would just get so depressed and just full of fear. And all of a sudden, I would read the word of God. And I remember that I would just say, "You know what? This is what the Lord says. And I believe that." And that takes courage to be able to do that. In the same way, when I got married, I didn't even meet my wife before I asked her before I got married. I didn't even meet her. But I went in with courage because I knew that if I strive to live what's right for the Lord and I pray and I try to please the Lord in a way that is pleasing to him by staying in his word, that I know that all things will work out. And that also takes courage to do that. So as we look into the future here, we can always look at getting a new start in our lives. Even today, we can get a new start in our lives today, and that was being courageous. And so the one essential thing we have for a fresh start or for a new start today is to simply follow Jesus. And that is follow Jesus. So if we do not choose to follow Jesus, our attempt at a fresh start will end up like all the other fresh starts that we've made in the past. We've attempted so many times to start, but a lot of times we probably just started out of ourselves or out of fear and not with courage. So we're on fire a while, but the fresh start that we start wears off. We cannot make a clean and fresh start apart from deciding to following Jesus first. We must follow Jesus first. So our choice to follow Jesus will lead to other fresh starts in our lives. And if we read, I'll get into that here. So when we need to have a fresh start in our worship, we need to have to move from worship as a time and place to a life marked by worship. So a life of worshiping God for who He is. And then we also need to start a new start in the Word of God, fresh start in the Word of God daily. Every day we need to start that. We have to throw ourselves in the Word of God, in the Bible, in God's Word. I love how this is the truth, like Phil taught in Sunday school this morning, that we're kept by the power of God. And if we go on through here and read, and Joshua is also in my footnotes here it says in the bottom here that Joshua was the first man to be guided by a book. He was the first man to be guided by the book. The book meaning the Word of God, the truth. So we're going to be talking about courage tonight, and we're going to find that topic in the book of Joshua here. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to 5 here, and then I'll read the rest here later on. But now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over to Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God was speaking to Joshua here. The Israelites had just escaped the Egyptians. God had delivered them from slavery. So I want you to imagine what Joshua was feeling here. I think it's three times, maybe four times right here in the first chapter, how God has told him to be courageous, to have courage. And so for God to command him and tell him that, I can only imagine what Joshua was feeling like. Because they have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years with Moses. All of the original bunch that was with Moses had died off, except for Joshua and Caleb, as we can read here. Except for Joshua and Caleb, even Moses died off. Their main leader, the one that they trusted, the one they took advice from, counsel from. Moses had been the leader for the Israelites for 40 years here, as we can read. He had a lot of opposition over the years. We can read that too. How much opposition that he had. But he was the leader. He was the one that God spoke to. Moses was the one that God spoke to. He was the one who received the directions from the Lord. He's the one who helped all the others settle their differences. You can read about that. Moses was the man, and now Moses was dead. Joshua's realizing that Moses is dead. So who was going to fill Moses' shoes? Joshua. The Lord speaks to Joshua, and he tells Joshua, the time has come for you to lead these people. He tells Joshua that the time has come. So guess who gets to fill Moses' shoes? It's Joshua. And Joshua's probably a young man, him and Caleb, and they're telling him to go into the promised land. The Lord tells Joshua that he will be with him just like he was with Moses. Just like he was with Moses. He promises Joshua the same promises as he had promised Moses. And he tells Joshua that he will give him whatever land that his foot touches. Whatever land that his foot touches, he will give him. So I can only imagine what that would be like. Because God tells Joshua that no one will be able to stand against him. No one will be able to stand against him. Because Joshua put his faith in what the Lord said. The Lord tells Joshua that he will never fail him nor abandon him. So how do you think that Joshua felt about this? I would think that he would have had doubts. Just like every human being, like even us, as we have doubts today. He had doubts about being able to fulfill the shoes that Moses walked in. And do you think what he thought of himself? I think that he would have thought just the same thing that we think when someone gives us a command or tells us to lead somewhere or something. Like, there's first thing that we want to say is like, I can't do this. There's no way that I can do this. And out of flesh and self, there isn't. That's where courage comes in. So Moses was strong. I don't know if I have what it takes. It's probably what Joshua thought. And that's what we tend to say a lot of times too. When some sort of a leader comes up and sees a potential individual, first thing we want to say is, I don't know if we have what it takes. When I got called to preach, I knew I didn't have what it takes. Only God gives me what I have, what it takes. So Joshua, you can bet, was scared about his ability to do this. You know he was. So it's possible, because we see that Lord tells Joshua next, what he tells him next in verse 6 to 9. He says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This, the book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I think that's, if I'm not mistaken, there's very few words of success in the Bible, and that's one of them. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Just in those three verses, he said it like three times, not to be afraid, but to be courageous. And so there's a couple words that stick out in what the Lord tells Joshua here. And it's a combination of words, and so you can see them. It says strong and courageous. That's what he commands us, is to be strong and courageous. Because the Lord tells Joshua to have courage. To have courage. For Joshua to do what the Lord was asking him to do would take courage. It had to take courage. You can't do it out of your own power. So God made Joshua some huge promises here. And so he had to either choose to believe that and go through with courage, or to not believe it and just go through with fear and not work out the way God wanted it to. Because God was going to hold up his end of the deal no matter what, because he sticks to his word, and it's always true what he says. But there's a definite step. There was a definite steps that Joshua was to have to take as well, and he has to move forward with courage. He had to move forward with courage, and that's where we need to start. We need to start stepping forward, following Jesus, not caring what anybody else says about what we believe in Jesus Christ. We need to move forward and have courage to go through it. Like I always say, I've said this ever since I was saved, I don't know what the future holds, but I know one thing. I look forward to it. Because I know that what someone promised me, the Word of God promised me, that I'll have a place in heaven, where I will be at if I believe in Him by faith. And so therefore, I don't know what the future holds, but I know that I'll have a mansion in heaven. So I'm looking forward to that. So we need some fresh courage. So let's look at the definition of courage. And here's the definition of courage that I found. Courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty. That's what the word courage is. Danger, it gives us to face danger and pain. There's many different things that I could explain here. But it's without fear. You can't do it with fear. It's with courage. Courage is moving into an unknown future without fear. God tells Joshua to move forward with courage. Joshua didn't know what was coming across Jordan. He had no idea. But God told Joshua he would not fail him nor abandon him. And that's all it takes, is to believe what he said. And so Joshua went through with courage. God called on Joshua to face the unknowing, knowing that God was ahead of him. And that's exactly the way we need to live our life, with fresh courage and just look forward what God's for. We don't know what's going to happen in this country. We don't know what's going to happen with our monetary system. We don't know what's going to happen in the next presidency. We don't know what's going to happen. But we know the promises of God. We know the promises of God. So that was the definition of the biblical definition of courage. So head into the future, knowing God is with you. That's what we need to do, head into that future. Because some of us are simply petrified about the future. I know many people that are so caught up in the news, they're so caught up in the politics, they're so caught up in everything that they're petrified with about it all. Turn off the news. That's all you got to do. And we're so worried about what might happen that we never move past where we are. We're so caught up about that. We're stuck while life passes us by. We're so stuck into that. We're in the same place we were when last year began, or when this time last year, the year before that, etc. We're in the same place as where so many people are. And sometimes we don't have the guts to step out and to try something different because we're so afraid what everybody else is going to think. Of fear. We're full of fear. We're just plain scared. We have no courage. All the promises that the Lord made Joshua are ours just as well. All the promises that he made him. He calls us to move forward. There's victories ahead that he has already promised us. And God will hold up his end of the deal. That's a guarantee. That's a sealed deal. That's a promise. But there are definite steps that we have to take too. There's also steps that we have to take. And that is to move forward, and we need that courage. And we need courage in the matters of family. Our family needs fathers and mothers with courage. God says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. And we need fathers and mothers who will direct their children in the right path. Direct means we have to steer them that way. So a lot of time, our children don't like to be steered. We know that. Steering may mean we have to move them off the path that they're on and move them in the right path. And you know, it takes courage to do that. It even takes courage to do that. And so we need mothers and fathers who will have the courage to stand for Christ in their families. Have you noticed that how much our children act like us? I have a daughter. I mean, I have two daughters, a couple of daughters and sons. And I look at them, and when they act up, I'm like, man, that's just the way I was. Whew. The way I am. You know, it comes out through your children. I'm surprised I didn't hear too many amens from that. But so when we cuss and talk bad around our kids will do the same thing, so we shouldn't be surprised by that. We should not be surprised by that at all. You act like the devil around your kids, you should be surprised your kids do the same thing. You read your Bible and pray, you shouldn't be surprised your kids do the same thing. I know we haven't done this always, but we started a while back getting on our knees and praying as a whole family before we go to bed. When our children were young, when Rebecca and Malachi were young, they always prayed and went to bed, and then it was a couple months there that they didn't do it, and I felt like we need to get back to that. And so we started getting back to that. And, you know, it's almost like, do we need to, you know? And it takes even courage to do that. And so we've been doing it for a while. And the other night we were home. We just got home from something. I can't remember what it was, but I was busy in my office, and it was late, and Polly just told the kids to go to bed. And then Jethro came out, and he said, Dad, we need to pray. And I'll tell you what, I dropped everything I was doing. And I got my kids out of bed and said, come, let's pray. And so we prayed, and that just blessed my heart. And, you know, they watch everything that we do. And we have to have courage in order to move forward in that as well. So our communities also, we need courage in the matters of our community. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean we fight with everyone who disagrees with us. It means that we stand for Jesus no matter what the circumstances that we're in may be. That we won't compromise to fit in. I find too many people, believers in Christ, compromise to be able to fit in. And it's not about compromising. It's about standing for truth. That's what it's about. That we are willing to be talked about and laughed at for standing for Jesus. And I get mocked. I get made fun of. I get looked down upon. Even from the people that I came from. I know I get that. Doesn't matter to me. I know I have a Savior that loves me. And that's all that matters to me. And I'm going to live my life for Jesus. And I know that living my life for Jesus with me and my family, I know that people will see that. And I ask God every day that he would give me the light that shines out that's within me of Jesus, that someone might see that. So, whatever the circumstances may be, we need to still stand for Jesus and not compromise that. And that we are willing to be talked about and laughed at. We need the courage to be positive influences in our community. Positive influence in our community. We need to be willing to step out of our comfort zone without being influenced ourselves. That's the thing that we struggle with a lot, is to be able to step out of our comfort zone. That's why we called that conference that we had in March up in Ashland, Ohio, Matt Ministry, we call it Step Out of the Boat Conference. It's about stepping out of the boat with faith and trusting that the Lord's going to take us through. To take us through life and through the matters that we're dealing with at that time. So we need to have courage to live our faith publicly. We need to have courage to let people see Jesus in us. That's what we need. And then we need to have church that needs people of courage as well. That's what we need. We need people that have courage in the church, because there's no limit to what we can accomplish here at this church. There's nothing that we can, there's no limit. And so we're here because God wants us here. And he puts us here to make a difference in this community, this state, and this world. That's why Jeremiah always preaches and teaches that we need to have a good testimony in the church. And I really respect that, because that is so true. We need to have a good testimony of the church for Christ's sake. And so God needs, he needs people who have courage to carry it out. We need the courage to move forward. So this time of the year may well turn out to be a pivotal year for us. We don't know, or other churches, but this could be the year that God uses us to make huge gains for his kingdom here. I know that since COVID started, our attendance has went way down. I mean, it's went down from like 250, I think, to just right above 100. I mean, we've lost like half of attendance. And I've been praying that God would bring more people to church. Doesn't necessarily have to be believers, but lost sinners, that they can hear the gospel as well. We need to fill the house back up. That's what we need to fill up. So we need to have people of courage who will move forward and see it happen. That's what we need. We need people praying. The church needs to pray for that to take place. And we need courage to step up and assume our places here at our church. Even if you're not part of the church staff here or whatever, in your place it is to pray. Gain up courage and pray. And to accomplish all God has for us is going to take everyone stepping up. Every one of us. It's going to take everyone sharing the load. So we need people of courage to make this church all God intends it to be. So we need to all get together and pray, and just pray that God would fill this up. And so this is the Lord's word to you that I'm going to pray, that I'm going to read to you here in Psalms 91. Hopes that this would encourage you. Psalms 91, 1-16, and then I'm done. I'm going to 1-16, and I'll read that, and I'll finish up here. And this is just words of encouragement from Psalms. Psalms 91, it says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor by the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by at his side, and 10,000 at his right hand, at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Verse 16, with life long will I satisfy him and show him salvation. That's God's promise to you right now. And he will keep that promise, and he will keep that deal until the end. So do you have the courage to live your life with the promises as these, Pastor?